Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves podcast for July 27th. I'm Tom Schreier, co-founder of ZoneCoverage.com. And with me on the line, as always, is Colton Molesky. Colton, we'll have another one of your Twitter feud starting top 10 lists. But first, I think there's a little news. We got a little LeVar Ball, or at least Ball family controversy brewing right now.
I mean, the AAU game that featured LaMelo Ball, supposedly the most talented of the brothers, between him and Zion Williamson, who, if you don't know, has been blowing up Twitter and AAU basketball with his slam dunk performances. They faced off this week, and Williamson is on the SC Supreme AAU team, obviously, but now on the Big Baller Brand basketball team, and Zion Williamson took, his team took the win 104-92, but the bigger story was just how many people were tuned into this game. They had to call in the police to barricade off the gym because so many people were there. The place was packed out 70 minutes before the game. The live stream that the AAU had set up for the event reached 1 million views, according to the Ringer, an article on the Ringer. 1 million views at one point. I think it was after the first half of the game. But it's just crazy amounts of people. And so the question I wanted to throw your way is, when this basketball game is involving 15-year-old kids and there's this kind of traffic and this many people interested in what they're going to do next, is AAU getting too big too quickly? I know over in Europe, soccer teams sign kids as early as 10 years old, and that's just kind of the culture there. But that's not the culture here for basketball, but it's heading that way. But it's heading that way in a couple of years as opposed to over decades. Is it getting too big too quickly, the AAU system?
Yeah, exactly. It for sure is. And I have a few comments on that. First of all, every coach I've talked to at the NBA level, you can go with Tibbs, you can talk with Sam Mitchell, you can talk with Flip, you can talk with Adelman. Any of those guys, and I'm sure the opposing coaches around the NBA would say the same thing, AAU is not really developing players well. There's a lot of guys who Sam Mitchell used to joke about, you know, like some guy who has a car wash and starts his team, and you got talented guys, but you're basically just taking your best player and running them up and down the floor. I also just don't like the mentality. I think of Stephon Marbury as a great example, although you could, there's a ton of them out there. These guys develop an ego. They think, you know, everything should be handed to them, that it's always going to be this easy. And then you get to the college level and for sure the pro level where, and you're not that far removed. If you're really a good AAU player at 15, you're probably 4 years away from the pros, certainly three from college. I just don't like it. I don't like it. I think that the message to kids should be, you have to work hard. There's always going to be someone better. There's a next level that you know, a lot of these guys won't get to. I'm not saying you shouldn't, pander is the wrong word, but you got to focus on the guys who are really talented because you hope they maximize it, and certainly they can make life-changing money. But honestly, I'm just not a fan of it. I really, even with college sports, I enjoy them, but I always put it into context. I'm like, you know, look, these guys aren't getting paid. They're very young. You know, I try to look at it in totality. And then certainly at the high school level, look, we love high school basketball here. We love high school hockey and football and all that stuff. But I always remind people, look, you know, you got to keep in context. These guys go to school during the day. They probably, you know, may work another job and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I don't like it at all. Are you a big 15-year-old basketball guy?
I'm a little bit on the fence about this one because on the one hand, if we're going to continue the one-and-done thing in college, I think that AAU really helps these players get ready so that maybe they're only in college 1 year, but they're developing on a really good AAU system or really a good AAU team. to kind of prepare them so that that 1 year of college is that's all they need to go into the NBA. But on the other side of it, I think you can have situations where it's like these two teams where it's the worst of AAU basketball, where LaMelo's pulling up from all over the place to jack up threes. He puts up an insane amount of threes from half court, and he's just pulling up all over the place and trying to make those Stephen Curry shots from everywhere on the court. And then on the other side, you've got Zion Williamson, who's, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch the entire game, but I did watch a few pieces of the game. And for the most part, he's just trying to get that dunk and trying to get that posterized play on every possession. And so I think players going for highlights every time they get the ball, that's not necessarily a good thing. It's definitely not the way you should be playing a team sport. And two, just the personalities that it's kind of exposing and maybe even putting more in the spotlight, like LeVar Ball. They had, during the game, they stopped the game because he left to take a bathroom break. Like, that's something that happened in real life. And so I think some of the personalities that are coming to the surface via the AAU system aren't exactly the right personalities that you want headlining the sport of youth basketball. But at the same time, if you're going to have one and done in college basketball, you need some kind of platform for these high school players to prepare, because it's not like college football where they got 3 years in the SEC football to get ready for the NFL. If you're going to go to Kansas for a year, then you've got to have something in high school that preps you for the big stage of a big college team and then right away the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know. I just look at it and there's issues. I know people have issues with the NBA not playing fundamentals. Now, I always say look at a Tom Thibodeau coach team, certainly the Spurs. I even think the Warriors. A lot of these teams, they do want these guys to play two ways. That's not what you're learning at that level. I also think it's too much attention for a young person. I just think it's important to keep everything in perspective. I will say this, regardless of what you think of all this, LeVar Ball knows how to market, and it's there's a reason why we're all looking at watching freaking 15-year-olds play basketball. But, you know, it is what it is. But I think that has to be kept in context, because it's only going to get worse. There's kind of that line that fame and fortune only make you more of who you are. Well, you don't want to kind of ruin who these young people are before you get going. But, I don't know. Do you have any other comments, or should we move on here?
The one other thing I would say is basketball is this kind of perfect mix where it's really easy for stars, especially because social media hit at the perfect time, right around the time Adam Silver was coming to the league, where he really wanted everybody to be talking about basketball on social media. He doesn't have the same restrictions as like the NFL does on NBA tape. He really lets
people
post highlights everywhere. And so that combined with the fact that it's just easier to be a star in the NBA, there's fans right on the court. You don't wear a helmet or a face mask or anything like that, so people can see you all the time. The shoe deals are better in the NBA. It's easier to be a fan. And now with the way social media is and with the way Adam Silver runs the NBA, I'm not saying it's a bad thing the way he does it either. I think it's a great way to do it because he's really let the brand take off. But all of that means it's easier to be a star as a basketball player. And I think we're seeing that first it swept through the NBA, and now we're seeing that hit college and basketball.
Trickle down,
kind of. These guys who are just, their highlights are everywhere, and they have a really big social media presence, and that's helping them push their name out into the public eye.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense to me. Let's move on to, you got some Kyrie comments?
I do. I am really surprised that he's almost switching gears, where it seemed like the narrative was he really wanted to play with Jimmy Butler. And now it seems like today we had the report that he really, really wants to be on the Knicks team, it sounds like. And in both cases, do you see him being the number one guy when that's the case he's made to leave Cleveland, is he wants to be the number one guy? Because if he goes to Minnesota, I really think Jimmy Butler is going to be the number one guy. And I think Jimmy Butler is kind of going to be playing for a max contract too, so I don't know how many possessions he's going to give up for Kyrie. And then in New York, either they trade away Melo and then Porzingis is probably the number one guy and you're probably running a lot of your offense through him, or they keep Carmelo Anthony somehow, and then Carmelo Anthony is the ultimate ball stopper and he's going to want to have the offense run through him. Either way, it doesn't really seem like Kyrie's taken over either one of those teams.
No, I think at the end of the day, the Wolves should stay away from him. I know I suggest maybe a Wiggins-Kyrie deal. I stand by that offensively, you just kind of have a sure thing with Kyrie and that, you know, he's not that old or anything. Wiggins is still younger. He has more defensive upside. We've been through the Marbury-Garnett thing here. I mean, we just have. And I think, why invite that back? Wiggins is fine taking the back seat. Butler's probably a star to begin with. Then Cat probably will be over time, just because I do believe he's a generational talent, and eventually kind of he will surpass Butler. But I think Butler's fine with that. He's a guy who came into the league as a grinder, as a defensive guy, you know, 30th overall pick. So don't mess this up. You know what I mean? You kind of tinkered with fire with trading LaVine, but yeah, you have to do that. You have to make that move 100 out of 100 times because you get Butler. But yep. Don't tinker with it. Kyrie's fun. I love the Uncle Drew thing. I love his game. I think he's an exciting player. Not a fit for Minnesota. The only argument, I guess, in New York is maybe you move Melo. You see if you can trade him to Houston, if he ends up somewhere else. And Kyrie's the guy. I don't know. I think you saw Cleveland without him, and he was younger, and maybe it's different now, and maybe that's what he wants to prove. But it's also different in New York. You're either going to get, you know, praised and put up on a pedestal, or you're going to get chewed up and spit out. So I'd stay away with it.
Not forget, too, in New York, Kristaps Porzingis won the skills challenge at the All-Star game last year. He doesn't need a point guard to take the ball at the court for him.
That's a great point. No, that's a really good point. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't like it. Plus, it's not like he's getting away from a bad owner there. Dolan's worse, probably. I don't know. I think it's not that he can't handle scrutiny. You got scrutiny in Cleveland. That team was expected to win and make Cleveland a winner. But, man, the Wolves should stay away from him. I don't think San Antonio and some of those other teams are going to be that interesting. Phoenix is the one. I'm kind of like a dark horse. I don't think it's his choice, but who knows? I mean, maybe that team adding a guy with his presence, with the playoff experience, the championship experience he has, let alone his talent and all that. That's the one that's kind of interesting to me. Otherwise, I don't know. I could also see them just being like, Kyrie, you're under contract, and he'll be upset. He'll be like, yeah, I might become Westbrook if LeBron leaves. But contract's a contract. You know, there's two signatures on the paper. So, I don't know.
What about the Clippers?
Yeah.
You trade him for Patrick Beverley, Sam Decker, and a draft pick. And then you have, if you're the Clippers, you have DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, and Kyrie Irving. And I think they would be happy to turn over the bringing the ball down the court and kind of running the offense through Kyrie over to him, because then you're basically in the same situation where you have an all-star point guard alongside Blake and DeAndre.
Yeah, not a bad idea, especially with now it's going to be such a contrast from Chris Paul, right? Chris Paul, you know, offensive and all that, but he, you know, the kind of the team leader, wanted to be part of a project out there with the Clippers. It'll be interesting, and certainly how interesting would that be if Kyrie goes to the Clippers? He can't complain about it. It's a huge market. Plus, you have a good owner there. That's a huge, huge difference. That's trying to create its own identity for the Clippers. And then LeBron goes to LA. How interesting is that? You got two, you know, your two former Clevelanders, who I sometimes wonder if the beef's a little struck up. I do think, like, for some reason we're downplaying how dysfunctional Cleveland is and how much that factors in. But, man, how funny would that be? I mean, would you just – you'd eat that up, right? Two LA teams with opposing guys? Yeah.
That would be fascinating. Plus, I think the risk for the Clippers is really low because they obviously like Blake, right? They signed him up for 5 years.
Yeah.
So you only have 2 years with Kyrie. And I'm pretty sure DeAndre Jordan wasn't his when they pulled him away from Dallas. That was a 4-year deal, wasn't it?
I believe so. I can look up real quick.
So he's got like 2 more years on that deal. So at the worst, you have Blake still, and in a couple of years, you can get rid of DeAndre Jordan and Kyrie Irving, and you still have your centerpiece. But then you're running this team for a couple of years. You see how it goes, and if you do decide to rebuild, you still have your center with Blake Griffin.
Yeah. If you spend that much on Blake Griffin, don't skimp elsewhere. I you know what I mean? I think
exactly.
I'm still trying to find Jordan's stat, but I'm sure whoever's listening to this knows it. Yeah, either way, I think that's I'm not opposed to that idea. And if I'm Kyrie, I think sometimes you go, you know, someone kind of pulls him aside and goes, dude, this is, you know, this will work.
The problem would be, I think, defense for the Clippers then. Just because Blake and DeAndre aren't exactly...
Sure.
They're not terrible defenders, but they're not the stout defenders that Chris Paul is. And then they'd be giving away Patrick Beverley as well, who's a really good defender. So defense would be a little bit of a problem. But I think that's still a playoff team. Like, at least you're still getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, it makes sense. DeAndre Jordan's a free agent 19. 4-year, $87 million contract.
Yeah, so you would have him for a couple more years.
Makes sense. Any final thoughts? Otherwise, we got to talk about your favorite app here.
Yeah, we got to. We got to. Let's move on to him.
All right. Tell the people why you love SeatGeek.
I love SeatGeek because I don't have enough money to go to games for full price. Let's just be honest. I'm a college student still. I don't have that kind of money. But fortunately, buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better way, a simple way to buy it with SeatGeek, my favorite app. I open it every day, even if I'm not going to games, just to look at it, because it's great to find great prices. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. So, I mean, still in college, but I am a married man. I'm a married man. My first Twins game that I took my to-be wife to when we were dating, I bought the tickets on SeatGeek. So, SeatGeek, you helped me lock down my wife to the long-term contract. I appreciate you for it. I really do.
It's like Match.com for sports fans. You just
it is.
It's a dating app.
I'm willing to back that claim. Here's a couple more facts about SeatGeek. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. And it's great, too, because you don't even have to look at any of the numbers. They show you a map of the stadium, arena, wherever you're going to that concert or the sporting event, and they have green dots show you the great value on seats, red dots. Those are the seats you should probably stay away from. You're paying a lot for them. And so they're going to show you the best price on the best seats. So it's a great way to find, just look over the entire thing quickly and you already see which areas you should be looking for seats. And if you're listening to our show, you get an even better deal. Listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase by using the LONBA code. LONBA. All caps. Use it and get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So I just took money off of a great deal for you. You're welcome. I wish I could use this deal, but unfortunately I'm not a listener. I'm just a co-host. So I don't get these kind of deals.
Yeah, no, it's a game changer. It's funny hearing actually it was one of Simmons' podcasts. He was talking about how it's changed the whole dynamic with season ticket holders, and just, you know, there's a lot of people that'll go, hey, I don't wanna be on the scalping end, I wanna be on the SeatGeek end, where I just open it up and I find a great seat. You can get different perspectives in the stadium, good value. You know everything, you know, what everyone else is spending. I don't know. Yeah, you got to love the app. It's a great service, especially for sports fans. We got your top 10. We got your top.
You got to get downloaded. Download it right now.
Yeah.
Use the LONBA code. Use it, people. Use it.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to get to your top 10 shooting guards. You are blowing up the internet. Literally. Twitter might shut down with these top 10 lists. I did not know how passionate people were about Cole Molesky's top 10 point guards.
Yeah, they love how passionate they are with disagreeing with me.
There's some Jeremy Lin backers. There's a lot of fun stuff out there.
I love it. And to all my listeners, keep tweeting at me. I read all the tweets. I might not respond because I don't know if I want to get into an argument over Jeremy Lin on Twitter, but I do read all the tweets you send me, and I appreciate you guys listening. I have small forwards today, and I'll tell you this right now. The back half of my top 10 are more controversial than the front. So my 10 through 8 are probably more controversial than my 1 through 4 this time.
Nothing is more controversial than me not knowing how to count or what position we're talking about. But
I wasn't going to bring it up. That was all you.
Let's start it with number 10.
All right, so at number 10, Tobias Harris for the Detroit Pistons. And I'm telling you, 10 through 8, I argued with myself so much trying to decide these because Harrison Barnes, I'm going to say right now, did not make the list. Did not make the list. And there's a couple reasons. I try to bring a different stat to every one of these position groups. So today, the more random stat outside of points, rebounds, assists is double-doubles and triple-doubles. Tobias Harris had 3 double-doubles. I think that's important to this position group specifically because I want to see my shooting guards grab points, and I want to see them grab rebounds. They should be more physical than my point guards, my shooting guards. I want to see them work into the paint a little more, and I want to see them grab double-doubles. I want to see them either get those points and assists or points and rebounds, but I want to see them do a little more, especially in today's NBA that emphasizes the importance of the wing players, the forwards, whether you're small forward, power forward. I want to see you do a little more versatile work than maybe those other position groups. So double-doubles and triple-doubles is the stat today. Tobias Harris has 3 of those, 16 points, 5 assists, or 5 rebounds, 1 assist average a game. I have him here at 10 just because I think the difference he made on the Detroit Pistons offense was really noticeable right away. I think that's an interesting team because they have some nice young pieces. Obviously, Andre Drummond is there at center. And they need to figure out the point guard. Reggie Jackson probably isn't going to do it for him. But getting Tobias Harris was a piece that really helped their offense, helped their net rating go up. I believe it was 4 points if memory serves. Don't hold me accountable to that, though, net rating-wise. And to affect it by that much is a pretty big swing for one player. Again, 16-point average a game. And so I think for small forwards, there's not as many really good ones in the league as you would think, because it's easy to kind of combine small forward and power forward together. They are different positions, trust me, even though Brad Stevens would have you think differently. And so Tobias Harris comes in at 10. He's kind of one of the more underrated small forwards in the league, I believe.
Yeah, no. Is this the best situation he's been in? Started with Milwaukee, he goes to Orlando, ends up in Detroit. Do you think Detroit, you know, you kind of talked about the fit. Do you think this is the best situation, however, he's been in?
I do think this is the best situation just because he went from a team with no plan to a team with somewhat of a plan. Namely, they're going to try and build around Andre Drummond, I really believe. They did sign him up for that long-term contract that was worth $106 million. And so they're building around their young center, kind of like the Pelicans are trying to build around Anthony Davis. And I think Tobias Harris is a good step for them. I think they drafted Luke Kennard was a good draft pick for them as well, trying to get a more versatile guard who's going to put up more points. I think now they need a really good point guard, somebody who can maybe play both ways as opposed to scoring a ton. Just have a point guard who's not going to give up a ton of points defensively and then really spread the ball around offensively. And so I think they're maybe a couple pieces away, but it's not like the Orlando Magic where they're drafting and getting in free agency a bunch of guys that play the same position and they don't really seem to have a plan. And they're just a really weird team that's in this awkward limbo for the last 5 years.
We got it, number 9.
Otto Porter. And this is the one I had Harrison Barnes in here for a majority of the day. And then I was looking at the double-doubles, and I really feel like the 12 double-doubles Otto Porter has compared to Harrison Barnes' 1 make a difference. Otto Porter, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist. I also think that Otto Porter's body of work up with Beal and John Wall, I think he did really well throughout the course of a season, whereas Harrison Barnes, he kind of lit it up the last, I would say, two and a half months of the season, and then was really awful up until December at the beginning of last year. So I want to give credit to a guy who played really well throughout the entire season. And the premise of this top 10 list is if I'm drafting a team who are my top 10 shooting guards that I'm, or not shooting guards, small forwards that I'm looking at for my top 10 prospects to draft towards my team. And so for next year, I'm going to pick the guy who was consistent all throughout the year as opposed to just a few months.
Makes sense to me. We'll see what the Twitterverse has to say about this. Number eight.
I might butcher this name. Danilo.
I'm looking this up. Real quick question while I'm looking this up. Meant to ask, Otto Porter, do you let that contract go? We talked about it before, but or is it because he's in your top 10 list now, you're like, maybe you can justify it?
I think not only is the production there, I think you have to keep him just because they don't have any bench. Like, if you let him go, are you just going to put it on pretty much John Wall and Bradley Beal throughout the season? I don't think you can do it. And so they're in an awkward spot with their contract, but I think you have to keep them. Gallinari. I apologize for my pronunciation the first time around, folks, but Gallinari is what I'm going with. 18 points a game, 2 assists, 5 rebounds. He only had 4 double-doubles, but I think he was one of the bright spots on this team. I think he really did a good job of just kind of compensating for the backcourt. They had some struggles at backcourt, the Nuggets did, and I think he was part of the reason where he was able to mask some of that, kind of compensate for a poor backcourt, helped move the ball around a little bit, and 18 points, not too terrible either, averaging for small forward. There's a lot of small forwards. It really drops off after the top 11 guys. It really drops off points-wise for these guys, so being able to put up those numbers. Also, 90% from the free throw line. If you're able to drive into the paint and then get to the line and knock down those free throws, also not something that you should underestimate, especially late in games. He's on the Clippers this year, so the Nuggets did trade him, or they had to get rid of him to compensate for the Paul Millsap deal and make sure there was enough cap space for him, but I think he's also a good addition for the Clippers. Just another one of those guys. They have a bunch of guys that can go out and put points on the board. And I think he's one of those guys that is just going to quietly put together a really nice season next year for the Clippers. That started out rough, but I think number 8 slot came together nicely.
Yeah, no, it worked out. It worked out. Who we got number 7?
Number 7, Carmelo Anthony. 22 Ooh. Points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 7 double-doubles. I know over the last few lists, I've gotten a lot of comments about where I put old guys. And the reason I have Chris Paul ranked pretty low on the list and Dwayne Wade ranked pretty high and Carmelo Anthony ranked lower on the list, if you're an older dude, I want to see you get players involved. Either you have to be a stud like LeBron James and still just be putting up massive numbers if you're older, or you have to be really good away from the ball. And I think as good as Carmelo Anthony is offensively still, when the ball gets to him, the offense stops, and it's just isolation basketball. So if you're an older guy, I want to see you pass the ball around. Get those young guys involved. Make sure they're doing all the little things that basketball players should be doing, and I want you to make sure they're doing that by setting the example, too. I don't see Carmelo Anthony doing a ton without the basketball in his hand. And once the basketball gets to him, I think the offense stops for the most part, and he's not getting Kristaps Porzingis, a young guy on his team, involved in the game. And so I'm still going to respect him for his offensive game. He's 7 in my top 10 small forward list. But I think if he moves the ball a little better, if he plays a little better with Kristaps Porzingis, I think he would probably be maybe a 6-5, maybe even 4 guy on this list.
Yeah, I was always curious kind of where his career trajectory would go. He also kind of shot himself in the foot, forcing the trade rather than kind of just moving on from the Nuggets. That's one of the weird trades. I don't know if it worked out perfectly, but one of the rare trades where a team trades a star and actually ends up all right. But I'm curious what his future holds, and certainly he's not at the end by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I think he's kind of, it's go time for him. Curious where he ends up. Number 6, who you got?
Gordon Hayward, fresh out of Utah on the Boston Celtics squad. 21 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, only 2 double-doubles. I really like Gordon Hayward because I think last year was a little bit of a breakout year. And I have him at 6 just because he's a young guy who I think is heading in the right direction. So if I'm drafting a team, I'm banking on him having a really good year next year as well. I think that his shot's really improving. I think that he is attacking the basket more, especially the last 3 months of the season last year. Not only was he shooting really well, but he was also getting to the rim a ton. He was being really aggressive in the paint. I like, too, that all these guys up till six have only had two assists or less. Three assists, I know, isn't that big of a boost, but technically it was 3.8 assists on the season. So he's right around that four range. I like that he's passing the ball a little bit around two and getting other guys involved. I just think that he's poised next year for a really, really good season. Whether he was on Utah or now that he's on the Celtics squad, either way, I think he was going to have a really good year just because I think he's finally getting it figured out, and I think he's finally got the confidence to where he can take over a game in the fourth quarter offensively.
Love it. Big deal for Boston there. At number five, we got
number five, Paul George, 23 points a game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 11 double-doubles. Paul George is one of those guys. He's a little confusing for me, personally. I want to hear your take on this, too, but he's one of those guys where the Pacers really, in those 2011 to 2013-14 range, they actually had a really good team around him as the number one guy, and he is such a good defender. He's really good offensively, but he was never really able to push a pretty solid Pacers roster through the playoffs. I know he was facing the Miami Heat, but if you're going to be the number one guy, I want to see more out of you in the playoffs. I want to see you even to push the Miami Heat. I don't think they ever had a game seven against the Miami Heat. And if they did, I'm pretty sure it was only one series, but I think that only went 6 games. As the number one guy, I don't think I saw enough out of him for a good stretch when the Pacers were building around him. And then there was that solid run of, I think it was 2 years, where the knock on him was he couldn't knock down game-winning shots as right. Well. That's something that you don't want to hear around your number one guy. So as good of a small forward as he is, I don't think he's built to be the number one guy and the main scorer and defender. I think he's a really good defender who can do some nice things offensively, but I think he's the two guy at best.
Makes sense to me. I completely agree. I think it's so funny that he had the Gatorade commercial where he's knocking down the shot, and someone on YouTube, some wise ass, decided to go and change it to a brick. I think he's a good complimentary player. It'll be interesting to see how he does with Westbrook. Super pertinent to Wolves fans here and around the nation, just how good the Thunder will be. Maybe he's a perfect compliment for Westbrook. And part of me wonders if his jersey is already a little bit stitched in Lakerland. But time will tell on that. For right now, you can know immediately what Cole Molesky's number four guy is.
Number four, here's where I make up for my horrendous error on number eight, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Love it.
Nailed it. Nailed that one. 22 points a game, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 32 double-doubles, 3 triple-doubles throughout the season. Shot 50% as well from the field. He is just such an amazing athlete, but he is so much fun to watch because not only is he just a great offensive weapon and defensive weapon on both sides, I really like how he gets other teammates involved. 5 assists was his average throughout the year. He's getting other guys involved, and I think he does a ton when he doesn't have the ball in his hands. He cleans up the rim a lot, does a lot around the glass, even when he's not the one shooting. I also like how he's a bigger dude, but he just kills teams in transition. He does a great job getting down the floor quickly, whether he's got the ball or not, and just wrecking teams and their transition defense and really doing a good job rim running in transition. I really love where he's going as well. His upside is tremendous this next year. There's talk. I see a lot of people placing bets on him as MVP of the league next year. That might be a little ambitious, but he's definitely got that trajectory where in the next couple of years he could be in the running for MVP. And he is just such a talented athlete. And he's in a great system in the Milwaukee Bucks where the positionless basketball that they're kind of playing. He can just go and run amok on opposing defenses and run around with Jabari Parker and make plays and not really have to worry about who's the ball handler, who's supposed to be playing center, who's supposed to be around the paint. He can just kind of go and make the plays the defense is letting him make. And I think he's an exceptional young talent in the NBA. One of those kind of unicorn prospects that you hear Bill Simmons talk about.
Yeah, it's so funny. We're doing all these lists, top 10 lists for positions, and most people tell you it's a positionless league. Either way, do you think Antetokounmpo, you probably pronounced it better than I did, do you think he wins in Milwaukee? Do you think that he can win there? Or do you believe that there's one more move for him before he really takes off?
I think he can, and I think he can for two reasons. One, I think he's one of those guys where he's kind of like a LeBron James or even a Dwayne Wade, where they're making players better around them. They're not just being a great player. So it's not, I think, and I don't want to hit or slam Carmelo Anthony too much on this podcast, but he's not like Carmelo Anthony, where Carmelo Anthony gets his shots and gets his points and puts up his stats. He's going to make players around him really good, but the Bucks are also doing a great job drafting. They have Jabari Parker on their team. They just drafted the Rookie of the Year. They have Thon Maker is going to be a really solid dude. I think DJ Wilson is going to be a guy who thrives in that offense. They've just got all these long guys who can just go out there and play really solid basketball, and they're not too worried about who's the point guard, who's going to be in the paint. They're just out there, and they're really taking advantage of defensive confusion from other teams because it's really hard for them to match up when everybody is playing so many spots on the floor, and it's changing almost every possession.
It makes sense to me. Who you got at number three?
Number three, this might be the most controversial part, actually. Kevin Durant is my number three guy, 25 points a game, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, another guy who's shooting over 50% from the field, 23 double-doubles, 1 triple-double. Everybody knows how good of a shooter Kevin Durant is. That I think that goes without saying, so I'm not going to harp on it. I would like to say that over the last 2 years, his defense has improved so much. He is now averaging 1 block a game, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it is. Trust me, there's not a lot of players averaging a block a game. He's averaging 1.8 blocks a game throughout this season. He was averaging 1.2 blocks a game last season. That's something that he wasn't doing last year. And just him playing such aggressive defense, especially around the rim, he's not a super big dude, but he's really tall and lanky. And so him using that length to really get in the way of a shooter's vision, really getting his hands on the basketball and being disruptive in passing lanes. We're just going to trip over words all day, aren't we?
This has been rough. This has been rough. It probably started with me not remembering which position we were going to talk about. Anyways, you have Kevin Durant at number three. I already hear the tweets. I don't know if you can hear tweets, but I hear tweets. Who's number two?
Number two, Kawhi Leonard, the Claw. Coming in, 25 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, only 9 double-doubles, which actually surprised me. I thought for sure he had more. But I'll tell you this right now. There are few players in the NBA who can so effectively guard on the defense, either the best point guard on the opposite team or the best center on the opposite team, and everybody in between. Kawhi Leonard is one of those guys, and I know there's a lot of people who say this about a few guys, but every single game, Kawhi Leonard can guard a different player, and he can guard them really, really well, and it doesn't matter if he's got to play in the paint and be really physical with them. It doesn't matter if he's got to play on the outside and keep pace with their speed. We've seen so many games where he's played Steph Curry one night and kept up with his speed, made sure he wasn't getting away from him, getting enough space to launch those threes or drive to the basket like Steph Curry does so well. And then the next night, he'll be playing up against somebody like a LeBron James, where LeBron's going to really drive into the paint and drive towards the basket and play really physical and try and use his size and weight against him. And he's playing against him and using the length of his arms and those freakishly long arms that he's got to disrupt LeBron's movement to the basket. And just the way he is able to guard so many guys is comparable only to LeBron James himself. And I think that that only comes along once every five or six, maybe even 10 draft classes. And so he's just a super special player to watch. I think the play that really sums up his career nicely is when he was playing against Houston and he had the block shot and took it down the court for the three to win the game. And I think that's just what Kawhi does, is that he can put the game on his shoulders and he's going to clean up the boards. He's going to take care of the ball defensively. And then on the other end, he's going to put up enough points to score, and he's not going to put up monstrous offensive numbers. I don't think he's built to be a guy where, like Kevin Durant, can have a month where he just has 40-point games all the time. But I think he's going to put together – he averaged 25 points a game last season. He's averaging more points every single season consistently. He's getting better. And defensively, I think there's only one player better than him.
One player better than him. One player better than Kevin Durant. Who you got?
We knew who was going to be the. It's kind of like the shooting guard was the number one shooting guard was James Harden. Everybody knew it. The number one small forward is LeBron James. I mean, come on, who else is going to be really? Who else is it going to be? 26 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 42 double doubles, 13 triple doubles. Another one of these small forwards that is shooting over 50% from the field. Is there anything I can say here that hasn't been said about LeBron and how dominant of a basketball player he is already?
I think you should ask Kyrie what he thinks of LeBron. And Kyrie has him at like behind Otto Porter on this list. All right.
Too soon for Cleveland fans, maybe.
Yeah, it's fine. They're not listening. Christian Cleveland's going to tune in. Yeah, you're going to get all these hate tweets. I'm just going to get a long text message from Chris from Cleveland being like, what is wrong with you? Why would you bring that up? Yeah, no, we're setting the internet on fire. I think we've held people for a while here, held them hostage for 45 minutes of just intriguing talk. We started with LaMelo Ball. We had Kyrie, Wolves, all that news. And then obviously a ton of small forward talk, even though I thought it was... what did I say? Shooting guard or something? We talked about SeatGeek, Colton's favorite app, and I'm not even kidding about that. Loves SeatGeek.
The new matchmaker of sports, SeatGeek.
Cupid's arrow resides in SeatGeek, I think. Anyways, that was exciting stuff. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
If Kyrie does go to the Knicks, does he get? Is he the next Knicks player to get into a fight with the owner?
Kyrie might just be like, I'm sick of this. He's like, someone buy this. Someone else. Honestly, it's his own fault. But if he plays for Gilbert and frickin' Dolan, yeah, I could see him getting a fight. I could see him hiring Oakley and having Oakley go after him. I think there's a lot that could happen.
He could not show up for games randomly, and he would still be the second Knicks player to do that. He wouldn't even be the first Knicks player to do that.
Yeah, no. The more I think about it, Kyrie and the New York Knicks are meant for each other. If there's only one basketball player in the world asking not to play with LeBron James, maybe this is the best. I don't know. I'm very curious to see how that fallout goes. We'll be back with all the news, with crazy top 10 lists, and obviously with the best and that comes out of the Wolves locker room once we are back getting access back at the games. But for now, for Colt Molesky, I'm Tom Schreier. This has been the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.